Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Stephen Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, our guest, Linda Oglesby, will be joining us, and we'll be speaking about metaphysics with particular reference to the Bible, which is going to be extremely interesting. But before I introduce Linda, I'd like to welcome my co-host, Maureen. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the show, very much so.
Yes.
Motorcycles are going by the Harleys. Oh, sorry, they're gone. Yes, I am looking forward to that show, and thank you for asking. And do you want to ask me something else?
Well, I was just welcoming you, Maureen, but I would like you to tell our listeners a little bit about your work.
Okay, yes, I'm an intuitive psychic empath, and I utilize the tarot. That's my main tool. I'm self-taught. I work my work because I must, and I enjoy it, and I want to help people, and I work amongst the wonderful people on this show and others as well at PsychicAccess.com.
Great. Well, it's always wonderful to have you with us, Maureen.
Thank you.
And Brenda, how are you today? Brenda's on mute. Well, I'll introduce Carmen before Brenda. Carmen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve.
How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm very well, thanks. Blessed to be here again.
Good, good. Well, could you tell us a little bit about your work, please, Carmen?
I'm a natural psychic, and I probably would be more inclined to say that I am a scientific empath. So I like being able to figure out the reasons behind the science with empathy, and I also love utilizing the tarot card for its symbolic content.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's great to have you with us. And Brenda, are you there?
Yes, for some reason, my computer locked up, but I am back. I'm here and I'm looking forward to the show, even though, you know, the Bible is not something that I've really studied in a really long time. I come from a Catholic. I'm actually a Catholic renegade. I was raised Catholic, so it'll be very interesting to see what the content of the show is going to be.
You will enjoy it because Linda is not only a wonderful speaker, but she's got a lot of passion and she's very, very knowledgeable. So it will be a lot of fun. But before we introduce Linda, can I ask you to tell us a little bit about your work, please, Brenda?
Well, I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places. And I use the tarot, the playing cards, and the crystal ball.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to have you with us as always.
Oh, I'm great. I'm glad to be here.
Good, good. Well, it's going to be fun. Well, I'll just tell everybody a little bit about Reverend Linda Oglesby before I introduce her and bring her into the show. She recently presented at the Church of Light's 2013 conference in Albuquerque. It was called The Alchemist's Laboratory, Transforming Everyday Life. And I had the great opportunity of attending that conference. And that's where I heard Linda speak. And she is just a world-class speaker. I think she's wonderful. She's also an ordained minister of the Universal Foundation for Better Living, a licensed teacher for the Johnny Coleman Academy, the teaching arm of Christ Universal Temple located in Chicago. And I'll ask Linda to tell us a little bit about that church later on because it's quite an interesting story. She's also a member of Unity of Oak Park in Illinois, and she's taught New Thought metaphysical classes She's scheduled to teach Spiritual Alchemy, which is a 5-week class at Unity of Oak Park, and that's based on the presentation and the material from the Alchemy Conference at the Church of Light. And she has an undergraduate degree in business administration and a master's in business as well, with an emphasis on accounting. She's a smart lady. Well, Linda, welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be here.
Oh, we're excited, Linda. When I heard you speak in Albuquerque, I was blown away, and I just thought we have to try and get you on the radio show. So thank you for making time to join us tonight.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me. I've really been looking forward to this.
Well, we're very much looking forward to it. And I want to ask you, first of all, Linda, about your awareness of metaphysical truth in the Bible, because I was particularly excited and impressed by the way you are able to articulate metaphysical knowledge in the context of the Bible. It's wonderful.
Oh, well, I think the Bible is very much of a foundation of the moral ethics in America, and not the literal interpretation of it, but the metaphysical interpretation of the Bible. The Bible is the history of humankind. It tells us about our generation, how we were created, our degeneration, how we fell from the high point of our creation, and our regeneration, how we are growing back to that part of us that is divine. And the Bible really tells us how we came out of God with a divine estate, forgetting our origin, that we are heirs to all that God is, and we suffer because we forget who we really are and that we are eternal. So I think the Bible, the literature of the Bible, can be very instrumental in a person developing their spiritual attributes when you really understand it and then apply the principles that have been available to us and that were taught by Jesus, who became the Christ.
It's very interesting because I've studied metaphysics a lot. I know you have as well. And I was just so excited to hear you correlate things like spiritual or mental alchemy and the Bible. Could you explain to us a little about alchemy and relate that to the Bible, Linda?
Oh, absolutely. When I think about the Bible and the work that so many people do, they're always praying outside of themselves. And one of the foundations that I saw in the Bible is, as a man thinketh in his heart. Well, your thinking relates to your feeling, your heart, because in ancient literature, they didn't have the terminology for your heart, which is your feeling nature. So if you're thinking and feeling and it's congruent with your higher purpose, then you will have that manifestation of absolute good, which is the highest good for all concerned. Now, how does that relate to the Bible? Or even astrology. Let's look at astrology. Have you ever wondered why no instruction manual came with you? Why is it so difficult to understand what your purpose is? Why all of the questions of what am I supposed to do? Why do I think like this? What is my life direction? Well, if you look at astrology, you come to the realization that it's not a predictive tool. It's a tool that you can use to understand the thoughts that were brought with you into this current life. Once you understand that, you can take the principles that are taught in the Bible and transform your life, change your life, and actually have the life that was promised by every prophet in the Bible. And in particular, Jesus, he said, I came so that they would have life and have it more abundantly. And he taught those principles of love, of faith, of forgiveness, of all the attributes that we can actually work in our life to improve our life And that's what transformation is. You're going from one state of consciousness to another state of consciousness, and you're doing that by actually working these principles in your life, these spiritual principles, because after all, we're here for such a short period of time. You'll look up and, you know, it's all over, and what have you accomplished? Well, actually, when you look at it, you are here eternally learning these lessons because you're growing back into the consciousness that you came out of, which is the consciousness of absolute good, which we call God or cosmic consciousness or the source or whatever you want to call it. You can call it by many different names, but actually you're growing back to that source with each lesson, each lifetime of experiencing this thing that we call life.
I love the way you explain it, Linda. I really do. We're quite interested in the tarot, and we often talk about how the tarot cards correlate to the planets and the signs of the zodiac, as well as their decanates, etc.
Oh, yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
What is your view on the lessons of the tarot deck and how they might correlate with the Bible?
Well, actually, the tarot deck, to me, is speaking to you on a subjective level. And everything, all these, the tarot, the astrology, all these are tools that are meant to be used in understanding who and what you are. The symbolism in the tarot deck. Actually, you know, when I first saw the tarot deck from the Church of Light, it called my name, and I looked at that tarot deck and the symbolism, and it just resonated with my soul, and that's how I got involved with the Church of Light. And as a result of that tarot deck, it allowed me to go deeper into understanding who and what I was. For example, the Fool. Let's look at the symbolism of the Fool. You come into the world, you really don't have an understanding of anything, but you understand everything because you're not that innocent baby that is appearing. You are a soul that is in evolution. And with each lifetime, you're acquiring more and more knowledge so that you will have mastery and dominion over who? You. Because you are the only person that you can change. You are the only person that can grow and expand your consciousness. So you can use the tarot, the symbolism of every major card of the tarot, to work with your levels of consciousness. As a matter of fact, I had even did a series of meditation just to, on a soul level, understand the symbolism of the deck as it applies to me and what my understanding is of my life and the direction that I need to take in my life.
Yeah, it's a wonderful tool for meditation, isn't it? And for receiving guidance oneself.
Exactly, exactly. Because actually, everything is geared toward, well, when you get to a certain level of understanding, because even in listening to you, I listen to your blogs and your different interviews, and I'm thinking, well, Steve has a wonderful spiritual practice. Obviously, he is in touch with his higher self, and you are the conduit of that knowledge that you can share with others that will resonate at their soul level, and they will have the opportunity to grow to that next level of understanding. Because we're all growing back to the source, and we're all, in fact, becoming the Christ at different stages of consciousness. You don't achieve that in one lifetime, I don't believe. I think some people have already achieved it. But, of course, if you have already achieved a level of development, you can't share it with the world. Otherwise, they would hang you up on the cross because your thinking would be so beyond where we are currently. you become at one with all that is, and everything is available to you. You have master and dominion over your thoughts and your feelings, and you just transcend the limitation of appearances. It's a wonderful thing.
It really is. It really is.
Yes.
Can you take a story from the Bible for us, Linda, and explain it to us in metaphysical terms?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I had really thought about where would you start in the Bible. There's so many wonderful stories that are teaching instruments. And the one that I like the best is at the very beginning of the Bible. It's the seven steps of creation. Because just as God created, or the universe, or whatever you want to call it, creates, that's how we create as well. And the first step is let there be light. And you find that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, and God said, let there be light, which means that you have to have the light of understanding from creation itself. You have to be open and receptive to the thought enter your mind. You can't be closed off. You have to be open. Step 2, it says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. The firmament represents the attribute of faith. Well, what is faith? Faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the ability to shape substance. It's not belief, because you can believe anything, good, bad, or indifferent. But with faith, which is linked to the source, which is the light, God, it can only bring in good. Not sometimes, not maybe, but all the way. Always, faith is going to bring good into your life. The third step would be, is let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. And this means, in the beginning, the mind had formative power. And right now, when you're trying to manifest something in your life, you have to be able to see it. Even when it's not there, that's what your imagination is doing for you. You have to be able to perceive and believe and have faith that you, as an individual, can have this thing that you say that you want. The third step, the fourth would be from Genesis 1:14, let there be light in the firmament of heaven. Now, the two great lights represent understanding and faith. My understanding, no. My understanding is limited because I'm in it, but to really understand it, I have to be above it. I have to allow the presence and the power of absolute good of God to develop that understanding of whatever it is in my life. And in addition to the understanding, not my will, but the highest will, which is the good for everybody, not just me, because I'm living in an environment with other people. So I want everyone to share in whatever good I'm trying to see for myself. The fifth commandment, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. What in the heck are they talking about? Well, the moving creatures are symbolic of thoughts that move in your mind. You know, when you first start having the light shine in your thinking, all types of thoughts will come in your mind, because thinking is the movement of ideas in your mind. The fowl or the birds represent ideas as they approach some type of spiritual understanding, an understanding that's higher than where I'm currently able to think or understand in my humanness. So I want to allow those thoughts that are above and beyond me to unfold in and through me. The sixth commandment, or the sixth day of creation, is let the earth bring forth living creatures after its own kind. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Well, that sixth day is the realization that things can come to me, that I can actually actualize a thought through my allowing the presence or the connection that I have with the creative power of the universe to flow through me, that there's a real possibility that I know that this is coming to fruition if I stay the course, if I stay focused, if I keep my ideas pure and singled eye on the light that's coming through me. And finally, it says the seventh day is the Sabbath or rest. After you've done all your work, you've allowed the light to come through in your thinking, you have faith, the perceiving power of the mind, that this will manifest. You have used your imagination. You've seen the possibility for yourself. You've allowed the understanding and the will of God to flow through you. You've, in the fifth step, you've let the discrimination or, let's see, the waters, the creative thoughts to just flow through you. And your sixth step, your realization. The seventh step, I'm going to rest, hand it over, release it, let it go, and stand firm, and just let that whole process come together until I finally reach my goal. The seven steps of creation, we do it all the time. One example, when I was a much younger person, I lived in California, and I guess this was like in the 80s. And like anyone else, I was really caught up in just the material aspects of living, and I always wanted to have a luxury car. And I had a friend of mine who really worked with the principles of manifestation, and so many people are caught up in the law of attraction. Well, yes, the law of attraction really works through you, but it's much more to life than just, you know, physical things. But the first thing you have a realization of is the physical manifestation of something. And so he gave me a little technique, and this is the technique. I wanted a really nice luxury car. We went down to the dealership, and they were they allowed me to sit in a luxury car, and I got the smell of it and the feel of the steering wheel and the whole nine yards. That was the sensation, the ideas, the imagination coming through to my mind, because at that time I didn't even think that something like that could, you know, happen for me. I got pictures. I had them all around my bed. I would wake up in the morning looking at these pictures and go to bed at night looking at them. It just so happened a friend of mine that I was totally unaware of was importing luxury cars from Germany. And her last transaction fell through, and she called me, and I got the exact car that I had been visualizing for about 2 months. I bought the car for $5,000, drove it for 10 years, and sold it for $3,000. And it was using the seven steps of creation. You can use this for not only the physical manifestation, but also for spiritual manifestation when you're working to develop consciousness. Because after all, that's what we really are. We are conscious beings. We're much more than just physical beings.
I love the way you describe this, Linda, and I love the way you're completely comfortable and at peace with metaphysics and the Bible, because so many people use the Bible to almost restrict other people and their beliefs. But you seem to be deeply in tune with the truth.
Oh, yes. And can I tell you one other little story? Recently we had intensive classes at Unity of Oak Park, and we were reviewing scriptures that I really like to do because locked within those scriptures are esoteric lessons, the very deep meaning of what was trying to be conveyed in a language that is quite antiquated. And we were going over some writings by Marcus Borg. And I'm, for those that are familiar with biblical scholars, he's right up there. And he really gives the historical lessons of Jesus, who became the Christ. They have the Jesus of faith that they have, the church has built a tradition around, that so many people believe that, you know, this man was born from a virgin, and if you want to believe that, that's fine. That's where you are. And until you get, you know, to the next level, that's where you should stay. But for those of us that are want to understand the deeper meaning of his life, this man was born during a time when they didn't even know the world was round. And people really did believe that God was angry and would punish you for, you know, the most de minimis thing. However, he transcended the world that he was living in, and he touched the cosmic consciousness of the universe. And if you study the history of who he really was, then you can, you know, really grasp the full impact of his life, and how you can take what he did, the principles and the practice, the spiritual practices that he had, into your life and transcend the limiting thoughts and beliefs of this life and actually touch cosmic consciousness. But I think you can do that with so many of the avatars. The Buddha did it. In Hinduism, they have the gods and all the different things that you know can do to transcend the limiting beliefs of a society that you might live in. And that's the message, really, because there is no limit to what God or your definition of cosmic consciousness is. And as we evolve as human beings, each generation becomes wiser, and we can see the connectedness in the universe. And so I think the Bible is one of the tools that you can use if you can get beyond the literal interpretation and go to the esoteric interpretation. And I would really like to recommend, one good book is Remedial Christianity by Paul Allen Lachlan, and then the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary that was written by Charles Fillmore, the founder of Unity, to get a deeper meaning of some of the stories and characters of the Bible, because it's really the states of consciousness that each individual is going through at their level of understanding, because we're all at different levels of consciousness and awareness. So wherever you are, that's where you start. And you work from there, because you have all of eternity to evolve and to become more than what you are right now.
It's incredible. I love the way you describe all of this, Linda. It's really, really good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's really wonderful. And I want to ask you, we'll take a short commercial break in a moment, but before we do, could you tell us a little bit about the church and the story of the manifestation of the funds required for the church, Linda?
Oh, for it's Christ Universal Temple?
Yes.
Founded by the Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman. This is so amazing. Every year she would tell the story of how she attended Unity School of Christianity in the 1950s, and it was really horrific for her because she could not stay on campus. She would drive to, it was Kansas City, and then she would go to Unity School of Christianity, which was in Lee's Summit, but she couldn't spend the night. The reason that she got involved with Unity, when she was a young woman, her doctor called her and told her that she had 6 months to live. This was in the 1950s. It's now 2013, and she is still living. Probably the doctor has made his transition. But when she was told that, she was so distraught that she was walking through the living room of her home, and she knocked the book off the table, and the book fell open, and she read this statement, "God is my health. I can't be sick." And she started arguing with the statement. And her mother came into the room and said, "Don't argue with the statement. Go find out what they're talking about." And that's how she ended up at Unity. So she went there, and she was the first African-American that ended up living on the campus after her classmates complained. And she graduated. She came back to Chicago and started teaching Unity teachings around her, I think, her kitchen table. And it grew, and she ended up getting a storefront church. She outgrew that. She was the first African-American minister that built a new church on the south side of Chicago. They outgrew that. And all along the way, she's affirming and letting Spirit lead her. She ended up building a facility that, I think it seats almost 4,500. It's on a 33-acre plot of land. They have the main church that includes the sanctuary that seats the 4,500. They have a school of metaphysics. They have one of the largest metaphysical bookstores. They also have a banquet hall, and they have the Johnny Coleman Academy, which is an elementary school that's state-of-the-art. And they have parking for maybe 5,000 people. It's an absolutely beautiful facility. And it's all paid for. So Johnny Coleman could teach you the principles of manifestation. It's just incredible the things that she accomplished as a woman during a time when it was very, very difficult for female ministers. And she was one of the most successful Unity ministers in the history of Unity. And the church had a membership of maybe 8,000, and that was the largest New Thought church in the world.
An incredible story. It just shows what we can achieve when we are aligned with Spirit,
absolutely,
with God.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, and she really taught principles. Her lectures, listening to her, it's just riveting. The first time I heard her, she just gave me goosebumps all up and down. I was like, oh, my God, who is this woman? So it's quite a story, and it's just amazing to realize that she believed what she taught, and then she demonstrated what she believed. So there you go.
Fantastic. Well, Linda, we're going to take a short commercial break, and then we'll continue our discussion after that.
All right. Thank you.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, Linda. Can I ask you now, Linda, to tell us a little about the history of the Bible?
Oh, thank you so much. I'd like to talk about the history of the Bible. I think so many people really believe that God sat down one day with his pen, or maybe he had depending on what time of history they're thinking of, either he had a typewriter, a pen, and a bottle of ink, or I guess his laptop, I don't know. But they never considered the history of the Bible. When we look at the Bible, you have the Bible is a Greek word meaning books. And that's exactly what the Bible is. It's a compilation of many books that have been written over a long period of time. We had the original manuscript. We have ancient copies, but the first copy that was ever done was the Vulgate Bible. And the man responsible for that, he translated it from Latin to English, and they actually burned him at the stake. We have the Wycliffe, we have the Tyndale, we have a Coverdale, and actually, the Bible as we know it, the King James Version, which I think is so hilarious, because history says that King James, the son of a sister of Elizabeth, the daughter of Henry VIII, was actually gay. And he commissioned the King James Version of the Bible, and he used the King James Version of the Bible as a tool, because during that period of time, people could not read. If you go to the great cathedrals in Europe, you'll find all of these wonderful pictures depicting the stories of the Bible, and that's how people learned the Bible. They couldn't read the Bible, but they could go to the church and look at the pictures and understand the stories of the Bible. And all those stories were teaching a moral principle, a code of conduct, how to conduct yourself in your life. And the other interesting thing that most people don't realize about the King James Version of the Bible is that all the royalties from that Bible go to the crown head of England. So the wealth of the royal family, as we would say in my community, they have very deep pockets that go back for centuries. The other thing that I think if you're not a real student of the Bible, is that the tradition that were developed by the church, and I mean the Roman Catholic Church, is the basis of worship now. I think it was in they had a conference, for lack of a better word, in 425 in the Common Era, where they decided that there would be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's where it started. It was not original with the development of Christianity. All of that came very late in the development of the church tradition. And I think people should be aware that when you start talking about, oh, no, we have the Holy Trinity, well, that was a creation of the church tradition and so many traditions that we take as coming directly from the Bible. No, it did not. The other thing that I think most of us need to be aware of is that the original translation, no, the original language of the Bible was Aramaic. And the Aramaic language used a number of idioms or slang in their different meanings. So sometimes when you have a scripture that you're looking at, if it's, you have to consider that originally it was translated from Aramaic, then it went to the Greek language, then it got to the Latin, and finally it got to English. And all along, as you do all these different translations, you're going to come up with something that's totally different from the original meaning. There is a Bible that you can get that would really help. It's the Aramaic Bible, and it's written by Lamsa. Dr. Lamsa did a translation from the Aramaic, and it would give you a different reading. In our last scriptural class, we even reread the translation for the great prayer that Jesus taught, and you would get a different interpretation. So I think that there's so many different things that when you're studying the Bible, it's more than just reading a particular interpretation of the Bible. And then there are various interpretation that are available, like the standard revised Bible. There are different types of study Bibles that you can obtain now. I even have an archaeological Bible that really talks about the land where the different Bible stories came from and the society that those stories came out of. And when you look at the landscape and the culture and the society, you kind of can see how those stories were written to different cultures for a particular reason and to address the needs of the people of those times. So it does not take away from the meaning, because it's a deeper meaning in those stories that would be applicable today. So that's why I always like to refer back to Scripture if I'm really trying to go within my own thoughts and feelings to elicit a higher level of consciousness, so that I can build that imperishable Christ body that so many ministers like to talk about, but they can't tell you how to get there.
Now, I like the fact, Linda, that you really help us to understand how we can purify ourselves spiritually. And I know the Church of Light teaching is very much about spiritual purification, understanding one's soul better, understanding the world better, understanding how to work with energy, with spirit, with God, to make a contribution in the world and to live a joyful, abundant life. Can you give us some specific tips, practical tips, about things that we can do to be more aligned with spirit and with God in life, and also tips about how we can become most successful, most contributing and happy in life?
Well, I can only speak from a personal experience, because everyone experience, God is an experience. Is not somebody out in the sky watching you or punishing you or anything like that. It's an experience that you have on an individual level. The most important thing I think that anyone can do is to have a spiritual practice. A spiritual practice is prayer, meditation, sitting in the silence. Prayer is your communion with God, not that supplication where you're begging for something, because God has given you everything that you could ever need to be successful in life. You have to unlock it within you. You already have talents and skills and abilities that are available in you, and you have to do the work to bring those talents, those skills, those abilities out of you. I know the emphasis now is, even in our educational system, is to get all this information, which is good because you want to stay current. But the most important thing is within you, and you can acquire that by having that spiritual practice. And I would say that going from a prayerful state will lead you to a contemplative state where you get to the point where you're calm enough to be quiet. In our society, we're just bombarded all the time with talking or listening and being, just doing. You know, we're always busy. And so many of us, we are afraid to be alone and spend time with ourselves. And if you can't spend time with yourself, why would you think someone else would want to spend time with you? Learn to be with you, to calm yourself down enough to be still. That contemplative state is going to lead to, hopefully, a meditative state where you can just be still to listen for direction and guidance. Now, sometimes the direction and guidance might happen when someone says something to you in passing, but you will know that it's coming from your taking the time to be still and quiet and making your connection with your sources, which is from the inside out, because it never comes from the outside in. It's from the inside out. And the only way you can do that is to become still and quiet and calm. And even in the Bible, it says God is found in the silence, not in the rushing of the winds or all this exterior stuff that's going on, but it's the stillness and the calmness from within you. And actually, once you become still and quiet and you build within yourself that centeredness, you develop a certain amount of confidence in your abilities. And that in itself will open up doors that you never thought were ever available. The other thing that I think that's really important, and we talk about this at Unity of Oak Park all the time, Reverend Halise or even Reverend Billings, and Jenny Coleman used to talk about this as well, is that this belief that your happiness is outside of you, no. There's no you might be happy temporarily, but your joy is from the inside out. You can share your joy with someone, but it's not something that anyone can give to you. It comes from you. So this temporary fix, this Band-Aid you might have, this temporary satisfaction, this temporary neediness that you have, if you just take the time to be with you, learn to like you, learn to love you, learn to appreciate you, learn to affirm who you are, will lead to that joy that will come from the inside and show up as your life, your world, and your affairs in a most positive way. And then you will start to attract all those things. Jesus put it like this: seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within you. We all already have that within us. But we have to do the seeking, we have to do the looking, we have to do the knocking, and we have to really want it. Not a temporary thing, I'm thinking about doing that, or maybe I'll do that. No, you really have to want and seek that that centeredness, that joy, that complete fulfillment. And that's really what it feels like. You feel at one with, and you have no desire for anything else. But when you get to that point where you have no desire for anything else, then you have everything. You have the complete satisfaction. You have the joy. You have the peace of mind. And nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. That's what it feels like. Nothing. I've read the Buddha said that. Rumi, you know, talked about it. So many of the ancient, you know, teachers or prophets or whatever you want to call it, they talked about it. But that's really what it is learning to become still and quiet and make that inner connection, that oneness with. And it's a wonderful thing, but it takes work and it takes time. And you have to start wherever you are. And even if you don't get there initially, if you keep at it, you will. It doesn't happen overnight. And you never, never, never beat yourself up because you're not there, because you're always in the process of becoming. And even when you get to that point where you are there, there's even more. I laugh sometime. In classes I've had, they always say, well, we live in the third dimension, but we're governed by the fourth dimension. Well, if there's a fourth dimension, there's a fifth and a sixth and on into infinity, because there's always more of God. There's always more good to be experienced. There's always more growth that I can have if I'm willing to work with me.
That's wonderful. And I, you know, when you were speaking about the dimensions, it reminded me of the fact that we say astrology describes the fourth dimension.
Yes, it really does. It really does, because there is no space and time in who you really are, because you're always becoming. And astrology is allowing you to peek into that fourth dimension. And it's your decision how much you want to go into it or not. But eventually everyone will. And the mere fact that this is 2013, and only in America, because everywhere else I've ever visited, when I was in China, it just amazed me how everything is, all the palaces are laid out according to astrology. When I was in, I was in Dubai, and they have they said it was an astronomy museum, but actually when I got up in there, it was all astrology. And you go to India, and it's all astrology. And you go to anywhere in Europe, they talk about astrology, and everyone uses it. And then you come to America, and you know, everybody has this little box that they put God in, and then they climbed into the box. And they say, okay, this is the whole world. And it's like, well, no, there's so much, there's always more. Your little definition is just your little definition, because there's always more, especially when you speak of spirit, when you speak of God, there's always more. But everything is a tool that you can choose to use to experience more of what God is. Or you can choose to just sit there and, you know, go with the flow or go with the world. Or as Jesus said, you know, be in the world, but don't be of the world. Yeah, I'm here in the world, but I'm not going to be limited by the thoughts of the world that I'm living in. Because I know that there's always more, and there's always more to experience, and that everything is an opportunity to experience more of God and to use the tools to uncover all of my latent possibilities and potentials, because there's more. And I don't want to be in a little box ever. And that's
you're
why I
certainly
love
not, Linda. You've opened my eyes, and every time I hear you speak, I learn more. It's wonderful to have you here on the show, and I'll be listening to this interview a number of times to make sure I've absorbed everything you've taught us.
Yes. Have you ever taken any of Christopher's class? Oh, God, he's like a walking cosmic consciousness. I don't want to say encyclopedia, because that would be limiting Christopher Gibson at the Church of Light.
Yes.
He is like cosmic consciousness walking in a physical body. It just, every time I you know, think, Christopher's like this, no, it's just all these different dimensions of him that keep opening up. And it's like that with everyone at the Church of Life.
Yes, yeah.
I just love
He's
it.
A wonderful guy. Very, very knowledgeable, very smart. Linda, thank you for being with us. It's been absolutely wonderful. I'd love you to come back and join us again next year.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. And I was so pleased to meet you. And the conference was just absolutely wonderful. I'm just thinking cosmic consciousness, God, all the time. My higher self for opening these doors so I can experience more of life.
Wonderful. Well, you're an inspiration to us, Linda. And thank you once again. It's been very interesting to have you with us.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Have a wonderful evening.
You too, Linda. Thank you.
Okay.
Wow. Great. Well, that was just a wonderful interview. If you do want to know more about Linda Oglesby and her work, you can read about her and contact her through the Church of Light. And the Church of Light website is churchoflight.org. And remember that you can listen to the interview on our archives as well. But I want to thank Linda again for being with us. She's a wonderful lady. I've got a lot of respect for her, and she has incredible knowledge. It's been really, really interesting. And if you would like more information about Linda, you can also look at her profile at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Remember that all of our guests have a guest page there, so you can read more about them. I'd like you to stay tuned with us for a few announcements before we move to the next part of the show. So be sure to stay with us for the rest of the show when you can get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. And we'll announce the call-in number a little later on, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. And if you were unable to catch our show last week, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as links to all of our archives for previous shows at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just click on the archives tab and you'll see everything listed there. There's some wonderful material there. We've got a really great collection of shows there that you can listen to and share with friends, even post on Facebook. So please do feel free to circulate those links and information about our future shows. It's our objective to reach out to as many people as possible, so go ahead and share. And do visit our website, psychicbloggers.com, where you can learn about everything in the paranormal, from tarot to psychic development, reincarnation, all manner of things. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our readers are the best verified, accuracy tested psychics on the internet, each offering their unique gifts. They all have a profile for you to read more about them and choose the person that you feel is able to help you at the point in time when you choose to contact us. We really do have very authentic and gifted psychics, the best you'll find. And it's a great pleasure to be with Psychic Access, to work with Doug. We've got very high standards and expectations, and you can certainly trust us for good quality and genuine insights. All of the co-hosts on the Psychic Access Talk Radio show are available at Psychic Access. So if you'd like a reading with one of us, please feel to visit us at psychicaccess.com. And if you have a website of your own, you can earn 50 cents a minute on reading traffic that is referred through to psychicaccess.com. If you would like information about that, please go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And again, if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us. Get into the chat room and discuss the interview and the information that we run through. There's something for everybody, so go ahead and spread the word. We really appreciate you. And if you would like to call in for a reading, the telephone number is 724-444-4851. We're not taking readings just yet, but the number is 724-444-4851. And you can dial in a little later and speak to us and have a reading on air. Well, I'd like to ask my co-hosts their thoughts about the interview. Can I ask you firstly, Maureen, what were you thinking?
I don't know. What do you think? You know, she was fantastic. First of all, I would like to say she articulates. She was so clear in her clarity that was understandable for anybody that doesn't even know anything about the Bible and about her points she was making. In fact, I grabbed my little tiny kid Bible I was looking at the interview. She was lovely, and I really felt it was nice that she spoke about certain things in a way that wasn't intimidating. But for, well, this is where I'm standing anyway. And I was raised a Catholic, and she was bringing up some lovely points, and I liked how, I loved her story about the car. That was just fantastic. It's like the law of attraction, everything is like mixed up in all this world of Bible. But I liked it. You know, Brenda had a question. Brenda, you're there. You hear me. Hello, Brenda. Brenda?
Well,
yeah, it was a good question.
Oh, I can talk about it.
Yeah.
I will.
No, I just was thought, I know, I'm not going to say
no worries. I'll just wait till I'm going to
wait my turn.
I'm going to steal that question. It's my.
You can steal the question if you'd like.
I'm stealing her question. No, she had a really great question, and I'm actually curious to see what Steve wants to say. But no, I thought it was wonderful, Stephen. People in the chat room as well really enjoyed it.
Good. Wonderful. Well, I'm interested to ask what Brenda's question is. Not sure I'll have the answer.
Well, you know, I loved your guest, and the reason why is because she had such a refreshing approach to, you know, the Bible, Christianity, and the understanding of God, you know, and as the creator, and our interconnection with that energy, no matter what we choose to call it in our lives and our beliefs. And my question was, but, you know, I can understand. I mean, she was just, you know, you didn't want to interrupt not a second of what she was saying. You know, all these different translations of the Bible, and I was just curious to ask her, and I'm probably maybe try to ask her that question via email or something like that. If there is a modern translation of the symbolism that's in the Bible, because as you know, you know, I don't know if you've read the Bible. I've read the Bible. It talks in so many different archaic terms and symbolisms, and it would really help, I think, a lot of people who are curious to know that, if there was something like that out there. And that was just my question to her. So
I'm not sure I've got the answer, but I can certainly email Linda.
Oh, yeah, and I would curious to know.
Yeah, we could get that answer and discuss that in the second part of next week's show, Brenda.
Yeah, that would really be very cool. And like I said, she had a very refreshing approach. It reminded me of almost like Christian Science in a way, which I feel really should be the new, for lack of a better word, and I hope I don't offend anybody by saying this, the new view on Christianity, I believe that that belief system and that religion has to change with the times. And because of where we are in the world today, the fear-based teachings of, say, 500 years ago or so doesn't really apply in respect to what's happening in our lives now and our level of sophistication. Don't you agree?
Yes. Yeah. Times are evolving, as always, and we have to look at things afresh.
We do.
And I think we have to connect with the cosmic consciousness.
Exactly.
As she said, and look beyond the paradigm that we're living in now. And sometimes that's risky, but we need to do that. That's why I'm really passionate about metaphysics, Brenda, because I don't want to be limited by what the majority of people believe is correct at this point in time. I'm interested in the truth.
Well, the truth is expansive. Some people may find comfort in something very narrow because it confines them and they feel that they don't have to go outside of it. But I don't believe that that's what people want, really. They want an avenue to expand themselves and their consciousness, especially now. They need to.
Absolutely.
Like, they want permission, I think, and that's
right, exactly.
You know, yeah. So I'm giving everybody permission. You know,
I know. Open your eyes. Go forth and open your mind to metaphysics.
Exactly. And that's what she was real good at, I think, as well,
I know.
Brenda. You know, it's kind of like, breathtaking.
Her words about, you know, your happiness doesn't come from the outside, it comes from the inside. That is an inherent belief, metaphysical belief. that it's being translated through the Christian teachings is awesome. So
it is. It really is. I'm interested to ask Carmen to join us and see what Carmen thinks.
Hello. Yes, well, you know, thank you for asking. I actually had an experience of going to a Methodist boarding school when I was much younger, because we had boarding schools in Africa. And I got to spend a lot of time with Christians. And I have to tell you that I've seen the attitudes by far have been so pleasant and so interesting. And I've encountered so many persons in this particular, Christians, that are very, very open to our work. And I am really interested in hearing, I mean, for one, I hear about some phenomenal speakers in some of the later, the priests lately, and that are also bringing in psychic work. And what I was curious about and what I didn't get in the reading was what prompted her to, as she started off, she said she started off in Christianity. What sect was she in, or what was she, Catholic, or? Because, I mean, the Methodist church, which is very, very stoic, very British, very proper, didn't allow for any type of misdemeanor whatsoever, or reinterpretation of the Bible, really. And it's always very nice to hear now, even with the, I believe even the Anglicans are even quite open to this kind of influence, as are, I have noticed, the Catholics. Our last Pope was very open to our work, even though he probably would not have formally discussed it, but I believe he had a spiritual awareness upon his resignation. And, I believe as well that the newer priests and churches are very open to our work, and I just find it fascinating to hear somebody in the process of being able to put it into action. Because it's really important that we feel that we have our own dominion over our own form of spirituality, but also in tandem using our minds to discover our spirit and to discover, I believe, our mentors or the people that we believe have led us, whatever spirituality you're from, whatever religion you're from. I've had the experience of having dreamt of many ascended masters. I believe I've met some ascended masters of Buddha. I did have a dream where I encountered Christ of a very, very personable and very spiritual and very kind nature, and several other religious figures. And I really do appreciate hearing from the descendants of their religions and being able to hear what they have to say. It's fascinating. Have any of you guys dreamt of religious figures?
Yes. Yeah.
I have.
As a lot of people have, even priests, they say that they have psychic experience. What were your experiences?
Well, mine, I don't know if it could be I grew up Catholic, but very early in my teenage years, the goddess Isis actually came to me, like full manifestation, which is an archetype for like the Virgin Mary.
I had a scarab presented to me by a religious figure before. And have that glow about them.
And it's all interconnected, and it's all, it's just how you see it.
Well, it was the oddest thing because I was very young and I felt I was just going through some kind of penance at the time, and I would think I had just seen Beetlejuice, and it was
Beetlejuice.
I know. You remember that character when she was constantly writing poems and she was constantly
appealing? Oh, I love you. That was me.
I know. exactly my character. And so then I started thinking that I had sinned, and I think I was only but 14. And I had a very nice vision, and I remember astral traveling and waking up, and something that was akin to a Christly spirit or energy, and I swear it just filled the room, lifted me out of my bed and said that I had not sinned, or if I had, that I was completely forgiven from that point on. I'm not sure if the accrued points now count, but I'm telling you, it was the most beautiful experience, and I really think that these are ascended masters that have left some very deep wisdom. And I'm very
glad. They're lords of light. They're lords of light. They're demigods.
Yes.
They're evolved.
And it's good to hear they're still around when you just summon them. I mean, or versions of them, because Christ must be quite busy, I'd say. But fascinating.
I had an interesting experience in Hawaii several years ago. About 5 years ago, I went to Hawaii, and I'd just left my partner in Europe and moved to the States. And I was really, really cut up about the end of the relationship, although I knew it was the right decision. But I was going through a lot because I left my family and I changed my job. I moved to the States. And I went on a course in Hawaii. And I, in the middle of a really big meditation, there must have been about 300 people in this room meditating, and with incredible music, Indian American, native Indian American music being played. And I just started to cry, and uncontrollably. And I hadn't cried. I hadn't cried about the separation, and I'm always quite stoic, and I try not to be overly emotional in public, and I just cried. I couldn't stop. It was uncontrollable, and people started to turn around and they were looking, and I thought, oh, I'm making such a fool of myself. And I just closed my eyes and I said, Jesus, can you please stop me from crying? I don't want to make a fool of myself in public. And I opened my eyes and he was standing there.
Wow.
And I know this sounds ridiculous, but it was such a shock, and I just stopped crying because I was so shocked, and he was just laughing at me, and he had really, really clear skin. His skin was like porcelain, absolutely beautiful, and I've always tried to look after my skin, and I didn't know what to do or how to react, what to say. So, and it was telepathic, but in my mind's eye, I just said, wow, what do you use on your skin?
Yeah.
And he just laughed and laughed and laughed, and his laughter just made everything okay. And then
I would imagine they'd have a sense of humor, wouldn't they?
Yeah, oh, they do. Spirit do. It was an amazing experience.
I love that story. I think you've mentioned part of it before.
Yes.
Whenever you do it, it's just such a... Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? It's almost like, you know, like, what is it, comfort food feels like? It's like I always get really comforted when I hear you talk about that experience. Oh. It is. Thank you. Now I'm going to just go away, be comfortable. Very nice.
Well, I want to ask the Carmen and Brenda a little bit about Africa, because I know we've talked a lot about Egypt in the past, and I'm aware that both of you were in Africa when you were being brought up.
Yes.
And I want to ask you about what you learned about culture and spirituality in your observations of cultures in Africa.
Well, I'll start because I attribute my fascination to metaphysics and the occult to being raised in Africa. I have to say that because I grew up in Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya, and then we moved to Asmara, Ethiopia. My father was a administrator for the Catholic Relief Services, which means that he, all the donations that came from the Catholic churches, the clothing, the food, and everything, he would distribute it to these orphanages throughout. He was, you know, responsible for, you know, doing all of that throughout, you know, Kenya and Ethiopia. And during that time, you would be exposed to a lot of their native shamanistic beliefs. And so on the one end, you know, for a short time I was at a boarding school, and because that was all that was available, but it was always, you know, with, you know, nuns or priests, and you saw the extremes and you saw the sacrifices of both belief systems and the blending of the different cultures. Like, for example, the Catholic priests, they worked out with the people, like in the villages and stuff, and they had to understand their different belief systems as far as like their different deities and their gods and goddesses in order for them to even understand or to even accept any type of help from them, be it medical or food or otherwise. You see what I mean? So that was a time for me as a young child with vivid dreams about all this stuff. And I think that Africa itself is such a vibrant, you know, elemental country. I mean, you've got the animals, you've got this spiritual energy around you, and I attribute where I am today as a psychic as being influenced there in Africa.
Wow, Brenda and I both, I just found this out about you, Brenda, and I'm so stunned that you were able to live in central, like in Kenya, because that would have been one of the places I would have loved to have ended up. I grew up in South Africa. That's where I spent part of my time. I also grew up in Europe. But I'll tell you what I learned, which was amazing. The best experience I had was the introduction to the spirit and passion of, for one, of the African forms of Christianity, which are incredibly passionate, where there's an incredible amount of singing. Being on a bus with people just bursting into song, the most gorgeous choral saw arrangements that were with stomping feet. I don't know if you remember that, Brenda, but we
yes,
had that
stomping. They would stomp the feet,
was,
and they sang.
Yeah, the bus was rocking, hey?
Like the, I mean, singing and this, and not only that. I mean, in Ethiopia, there was Egyptian. There was a part that we traveled to in Ethiopia, and that's where I saw my very first Egyptian stuff. There was Egyptian temples there, and all of that just vibrated with me in my past lives, everything, my whole being. But you're right. I mean, it's all about singing and dancing.
Yeah,
and
definitely singing and dancing. They have these hybrid religions there, right?
They do. They were hybrid.
Yeah, so you have the people that are influenced by the Christian religion. They're extremely passionate. And then you still have them. They still have some superstitious beliefs. So they still use the muti and some of the doctors on the side. Some will absolutely not. But for the most part, it's very much integrated. And I actually ended up doing psychic readings for a man in Mozambique who actually, very kind man, also really helped guard me and save my life, a very, very good guardian. And he was most superstitious, and he definitely wanted to know if he was being cursed or not. So there are all these elements, and then they work themselves into the culture. And I would say for the most part, you know, the biggest thing for us, I think, is that we were cut off from all the media. And for you, Brenda, like me, you would not have had television. You would have.
I was
had
cut off from a big. That's right. A big. No, we had television, but it was like in Ethiopia. We had it, but it was in Italian. Like I watched Bonanza.
Oh, yeah. I know. I think that we were actually warped back into, like, you know, probably
we
two
were.
Decades back.
I missed a lot of American culture, but you know what? I don't really miss it.
No, I still don't. No offense. No, it really was very special actually living down there, because we had a lot of stillness, and that's where I became a fairly good innovative writer. And that's how you gather and learn how to become a creative person, is without stimulus around you, right?
Well, the shaman, I enjoyed the, I'm sure that South Africa had the same tales, all the shamanistic tales, and you know, the tales of all the animals and all that stuff the children grew up with. I remember all of that. They were taught to us by our
we had the tokolosh. Yes, we had the tokolosh, which was this curious little story of a little man that used to come around and wake the bad children up at night. And the ladies around us used to actually elevate their beds to avoid him. And I remember actually pretending to be one. Well, I mean, that was me as a child anyway. The fun you can have with this kind of thing. Very, very superstitious people. And then I went, but when you look at with the actual embodiment of these spirits that they imbue into their artifacts, I actually bought one of those little tokoloshes once, and I felt like it had been imbued with some black magic. So I gave it a sweet burial, and I sent it down on its way down the river. Not sure if it helped, but the energy around some of the artifacts is quite interesting. Like just the human energy, the creation that is put into each artwork. It's a very different energy to than anything that would be manufactured in the North or in the West. Do you know what I mean?
I know. All those hand carvings, all those beautiful hand carvings.
Yeah.
That they make of wood. We brought a lot back with us. So.
Yeah. And I think that the universe there really, for them, really does make sense. It's very well organized.
Well, it's circular to them. You know, everything. Their homes. Their circle of life, it's a circle for them. It's not that they think in circular patterns, not like us here in the Western world.
Yeah. Well, I still think, yeah, I guess you're right. I haven't done a full anthropology. I haven't studied anthropology, but I would say that for the most part, a very comforting continent to live on, right, Brenda?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very different.
And the spiders are huge for anybody who doesn't know.
They really are the size of your hand. They are the size of your hand.
Yeah. Do they have big hairy legs too?
Just unusual ones.
I mean, don't like spiders.
I remember as a kid going in the bathroom and in the middle of the night and turning on the light, and then the whole wall was covered with all these huge spiders.
Oh, insects were not a problem, right? And actually, probably beautiful. They were guardian spirits. I remember taking going on horse riding, horseback, and just thinking how pretty the little dragonflies were, like little spirits, little fairies accompanying us. Africa is terribly symbolic. It's hard not finding a symbol there. So you just walk across the country, and you could pretty much find your way around through spiritual symbolism because there's so many animals. I mean, that's how I actually found my way on one of my trips, was through, because we were lost on the map and we were driving through Mozambique, was through using animal symbolism, owls, you know, as guardians, crabs, crabs to signify danger, shells. I found a shell that signified protection, and I collected my way across Africa with symbols, chameleons, and all kinds of lovely creatures came my way. I wrote them all down.
The chameleons were amazing in Kenya. They were everywhere, and they were all over the lawn, our front lawn. They're beautiful, too.
Oh, yeah, I had a pet one, and I think we all had really unusual pets there.
Well, we had a monkey. He just came. Belonged to our neighbor. He belonged to our neighbor, but he liked our pantry the best. And so
was he a vervet monkey?
He was like a little spider monkey. But he was a brat, and he would come in and he would destroy the pantry. He'd open the door and go in and just like wreak havoc. And then he became friends, and he'd ride on the top of our dogs. It was cute.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, Africa, you know, you really can't beat that for a childhood. You know, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, special. I think I went to a shaman there. I did, actually. I got a little love spell done, and I had a bone throwing done. And that was pretty interesting as well. But everywhere when you walk downtown, you see they have those little muti shops, what we call muti, which is...
They do. And then they read in glasses of water, too.
My cat's called Muti.
Really?
There's a collective connection.
Is he the bad one, Steve? Is he the one that's always causing trouble?
He can be naughty at times, yeah.
Well, he's moody. He's moody.
I had no idea. I had no idea, Brenda, that you were raised in a different country. This whole time we've been on the show together. Steve, did you know that about Brenda?
Yes, I know. But not about Carmen.
Well, I knew Carmen because she just brought something up earlier before we started the show, or else I wouldn't have known. But you know, like I wish I was there with you, girl, but I wasn't.
That's Kenya, cool. A lot of back then in the 60s, you know. Mm-hmm. Mostly British, so all my friends were British. And we had tea time and all that good stuff.
So you went to Catholic, that's where you were, then when we talked about with each other, because we're both raised Catholic, I was on this side of the world, being raised in the devastation of it, Catholic schools, but you were on the other side in Catholic schools, then, Brenda, is that what you're saying?
There was Benedictine nuns. The school I went to had Benedictine nuns.
Right.
And we were the only Catholic class there. We're kind of one class of Catholics, kind of like a little oasis there. But they were equally as strict with us, if not more.
Right. Now, that's interesting. I think it's fascinating. And I wonder, Carmen, were you both there at the same time? Although one in the South, one wasn't, but South Africa. Let's hear how old you are, Carmen.
I was there until 96. Oh, sorry, 95. I'm 40, so
you're younger.
That's,
You're a young girl.
I know. I'm but a spring chicken. And I think that with genetics, DNA, with genetics and new science, we're probably going to be saying that. I hear the 50s are the new 30s, or wow.
Yeah, and if, you know, the
seriously.
And on the 20s are what? The new tweens?
That's, yes, definitely.
That's very disturbing. But that's
but dearly, I left my soul in Africa, and I still one day really wish to go back.
That's really nice.
Wonderful. Well, it's been interesting to hear about it. Unfortunately, we're not able to take calls this evening because the telephone provider we use is broken. They've got problems this evening, so we can't actually take incoming calls. So we'll end the show a little early, but I know that Stephen has a show next week for us about raising the Kundalini, which is a subject I'm really interested in hearing about. And his guest is Robert Bruce, who's an author and expert on astral projection. So that will be a great show. And I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, so we're going to wrap up a little early. But I want to say goodbye to everyone and thank you for joining us this evening. And over to you girls to say your goodbyes.
Goodbye.
So long.
Adieu.
Adieu. Let's sing a song. A show tune now. And Carmen, great having you with us tonight. It was lovely.
Yes,
thanks for having
nice.
Me. Thank you. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, Maureen. And thank you, Steve. Very interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.